Absolutely.
Yeah, twofold now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, nice story with Fred. He has been doing that a long time.
Yeah, well over a decade and 50 years plus all around the state, and I think even in Missouri a little bit too. But over a decade, he's been writing down commercial there with the annual Christmas parade.
All right. KVOE Live in local, overcast, 53 degrees. Good morning at 722.
KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local. This is the morning primetime newsmaker.
And our primetime newsmaker this morning is brought to you by Opie Chicken House. Call the Chicken House for all your catering needs at 620-475-3386.
The Opie Chicken House has been providing the area with their signature quality food for generations. Please make note of their new restaurant hours. Open for dine-in service and carry-out Wednesdays through Saturdays from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. and closed Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays. Come visit the Chicken House for fried chicken, steak, seafood, burgers, and homemade pie. The Chicken House wishes to thank you for your support, and they look forward to seeing you just 10 minutes south of Emporia in beautiful Opie, Kansas.
KVOE, we are live and we are local, and we are happy that you're with us on this Friday morning, the first full day of winter, 53 degrees on our way to a 60-degree day today with some sun expected a little later on. And we're very pleased to be joined on our primetime newsmaker this morning via the KVOE Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line by Teresa Briggs. And we're going to get a local perspective here on a Kansas Supreme Court ruling recently that involved the League of Women Voters and the Kansas Attorney General's Office and the Kansas Secretary of State Office. That's a lot going on right there. Yeah. Teresa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, I feel good.
Great.
Mission accomplished.
We do too now. Well, Merry Christmas to you, Teresa.
Well, same to you and yours.
Yeah, it's always good to have Teresa on. We've had Teresa on many times, of course, discussing many different topics, but League of Women Voters is what we want to deal with here this morning. As recently, the Kansas Supreme Court has apparently reversed a ruling by the lower court of appeals regarding a state law that some organizations argued limited their ability to register new voters. Now, the Supreme Court, I think, ruled that the appellants have the right to sue regarding the law. They did not overturn the law itself.
Right.
The case, I guess, now returns to the Kansas Court of Appeals to be heard regarding the law itself. And how specifically did this, I guess, affect the League of Women Voters, Teresa?
Well, very significantly. The League of Women Voters itself is one of the nation's largest standing, nonpartisan, grassroots voter registration organization. And what this bill did allowed the state to prosecute persons who, in their words, knowingly engaged in conduct that would, in quotes, give the appearance of being an election official or would cause another person to believe the person is an election official, which really drastically impacted our voter education efforts because we didn't want to run the risk of, even though we try to use as much signage, we have table covers with our logo on it, and really try to promote ourselves, of course, as the organization that we are, it really was concerning, and not only to us. There were three other plaintiffs in the state that got onto the lawsuit with us. Really concerned us that anything we were trying to do to help educate and register voters would be misinterpreted and would cause even more legal trouble for the league and these other organizations. And this, you know, with election years and things coming up,
yeah,
that's what we do. We concentrate our registration drives at locations that reach large numbers of unregistered voters, like high schools, which from what I hear, Emporia High teachers do a great job of doing that as well. Community colleges, we had to turn down a lot of opportunities to table at events and with organizations for fear of being said that we were representing ourselves as an election official.
So turn down these opportunities. You've had to do that a lot in the past. Is that what you're saying, Teresa?
Yes, ever since 2021 when this all came up. So it's been 2 years of back and forth. You know, they take it to one court. They have a decision, it would be appealed or whatever. So, and like you said, right now it's being sent back to the lower court to kind of evaluate. They requested that the Shawnee County District Court Judge review the lawsuit using strict scrutiny, which is the highest standard of legal review. And we're just hopeful that they will understand the fact that these organizations are purely wanting, you know, we believe that every eligible voter should have a fair and equal opportunity to register to vote and to cast their ballot. And there are a lot of people who miss the opportunity to vote because they don't know how to register or they miss their state's deadline. So that's what we've done. We've stepped in to make them aware of dates that they needed to get registered by, where they could do it. And we were able to help them, you know, face to face at a lot of times. So.
Well, and we spend a lot of time, you know, working here locally with Tammy Vopot and other organizations as well.
Yes.
Really, really promoting the fact to get out and get registered and how people can do that. So that's certainly something we want to have happen. What was the problem that led to this? Do you know? I mean, I guess I just don't recall this being a massive issue, this law even came to be. Do you know any of the history of that, Teresa?
Well, in addition to restricting, you know, our opportunity to register voters, they made it a crime to help more than 10 voters deliver their advance voting ballots. And this was something that some of our members wanted to do with senior citizens, shut-ins, to help them get registered. So, and then they imposed a new statewide signature matching requirement for any advance voting ballots. So it just seemed like they were really restricting the ability for us to help voters get registered, get their ballots or their registration applications to the appropriate source. And like I said, there were three other: Loudlight, the Topeka Independent Living Resource Center, and Appleseed Kansas Center for Law and Justice. So we all were kind of put in the same boat, and it's just kind of been a back and forth, like pickleball match, to use the favorite sport now, you know, kind of we think we had made a good argument with the court and they come back and send it back or just refuse to look at it, and then we'd appeal. And so it's just been pretty hectic and frustrating for our members too, because they know we're missing a lot of opportunities. And but you brought up Tammy Vopot, and I must say we always do refer to the county clerk and have been doing that even more the last 2 years, because her website is amazing. You know, she has important dates for registering and voting. She lists all the polling places. You can find your precinct. If a vote has recently taken place, she has all the results. I mean, it is very, very comprehensive. So I would really encourage people to reach out or go visit her office at the courthouse. And then our Secretary of State, it really does a great job as well as far as encouraging registration and voting. They have materials in English and Spanish. And we feel very good that the whole voting process in Kansas is well regulated because of his efforts and done so in a reasonable way.
Teresa, kind of going back to Ron's question, though, just a moment ago, was there a singular event that kind of led to this law being created, or was it kind of a cavalcade of several different events or several different concerns that were addressed at a certain time?
Yeah, well, I think if you remember, there was a special committee that was looking at election administration, how that was done in the state. And I think there's a lot of misinformation and things that people hear. Maybe something actually happened somewhere else, occurred somewhere else, and they just generalize and say, okay, I'm sure this is going on in all states. I was not present at the hearings or when the bill was passed, so I don't know who actually proposed or brought the bill up. I should have been more informed on that, but I just think it was a lot of misinformation. And what I noticed when I was putting this together was that in Texas, they have even stricter laws against people that that want to vote. And so I just think sometimes they look at examples of other states, and it just leads them to think that maybe we need that as well. And right now there's some support for things like that. So hopefully we'll get back on the right track with this latest decision.
Yeah, the plaintiffs, League of Women Voters, arguing that the law is too broad, vague, and criminalizes innocent political activity. And the Attorney General did have a written statement in reaction to the Supreme Court, and he said he looks forward to defending the statute in court. So I guess it's in the hands of the courts, Teresa, and right. Any timelines here? That's pretty tough to tell, isn't it?
It really is, and especially with the holidays, I don't know what the schedule is. And, you know, it's like I said, this has already been going on 2 years, and you'll see months between one decision before they get another in response to an appeal. So I don't see anything coming out till next year, but, you know, it's an election year, and it's going to be very critical that all these organizations be able to get back on track with registering voters.
Well, I know you do a fine job of getting the information out there and making the public as informed as they possibly can be. So we hope you keep up the good work, and thanks for bringing this to a little more light with us here this morning, Teresa.
You're welcome. I appreciate your interest, and we appreciate your assistance in getting information out as well.
Teresa, thanks.
You do a great job.
Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Good to talk to you as always, Teresa. Teresa Briggs with the League of Women Voters with us here this morning. Tegan?
Absolutely. And, of course, I do want to remind everybody that we will not have our regular newsmaker segment coming up on Monday due to the Christmas Day holiday, and we are pretty much booked up through next week. Our next primetime newsmaker will have Hispanics of Today and Tomorrow spokesperson Sally Sanchez discussing Hot's Fiesta bowling event at Flint Hills Lanes on December 26th.
We do have something. We do have a special feature.
We do have a special feature. Yes, we do. It'll be Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus, the reading as voiced by the legendary Roger Hartsook.
Right, yep, indeed. Looking forward to that every Christmas morning right here. So that will be happening on Monday. Our newsmaker segment this morning brought to you by the Olpe Chicken House, featuring great chicken, steak, seafood, and catering. The Olpe Chicken House, a family tradition since 1958. The Olpe Chicken House, 734, 52 degrees. Good morning.
Mark Schaefer out here at John North Ford Nissan, where I have a great selection.